Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Would you grab your swords? Luke 21, please. In verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Is that happening? Okay. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Is that happening? Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. We are approaching our final redemption. I said approaching. Amen. It will be the completion of everything. The things to come, that why we were redeemed. So there's a final redemption coming in. It says that signs and the heavenlies and things to that degree will be first revealed. Then they'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud. Now, I want you to know that God, before Jesus fully comes, and he's going to first come through the body of Christ. So many will see Jesus through the body before they will see him personally come. In fact, they'll see him come in the clouds, amen, when he calls us off the earth, known as the rapture. So in that, we know that we are in times of signs and wonders. We can't deny what's happening right now. The world has never been this way. And it's never going to be this way again. It's going to constantly change. People are still waiting for it to go back to the old way. It's never going to go back to the old way. In fact, the old way was corrupt, controlled by evil. Matthew 27, verse 32. Now, as they came out, let's speak it, they found a man of Syrian, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear Jesus' cross. And when they had come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of skull, which means place of death. How many of y'all know that skull and crossbones is a representation of death? Amen. They gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink, but when he had tasted it, he would not drink it. Then they crucified him, and they divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him: this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Boy, they thought it was an accusation, but they didn't realize the reality that he is the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by blaspheming him, wagging their heads back and forth and saying, you who destroy the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself. Because that's what Jesus proclaimed, that he would destroy the temple to be raised in 3 days. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests, also mocking with the scribes and the elders, said, he saved others, him himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will save him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there were darkness over all the land. Why? Because then it's an eclipse at that time. So there was 3 hours of darkness over the land. You think it was coincidental Jesus is hanging on the cross and everything went dark? Hello? Why? Because it was a sign in the skies, wasn't it? And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with his voice, and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So some of those who stood there when they heard that said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. So these are things that followed the eclipse. Earthquake, right? Things shaking. Amen? And the graves were opened. The graves were opened. And many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised from those graves. Now these individuals, their bodies came up. That's when Jesus entered, when he left his spirit, when he left his body, and he went into the earth, the graves opened up. Bodies came up. They weren't alive yet. They just saw the bodies. Does everybody understand it? These graves opened up. And so while Jesus was taking dominion in hell, taking the keys from the devil, and opening up other things down there, which we'll talk about in a minute, these individuals were able to see, people on the earth were able to see these graves opened up. And then coming out of the graves after Jesus rose from the dead, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now these people were not incarnated, reincarnated. Hello? They were not cloned. They were them original selves. Does everybody get it? Why? Through resurrection power. Resurrection power. This is what disqualifies every kind of belief system in the world. There's only one who rose from the dead. They can all proclaim wisdom and all of this other stuff, but none of them died for their people. None of them shed the blood on earth for their people. Only one, the Son of God, the only begotten Son. So when the centurion and those who with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." Man, they flipped. And many of the women who followed Jesus from Galilee ministering to them were there, looking on afar from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joaz, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now, they had to freak out, you know that? Think about that. Jesus, the King of the Jews, all mocked him. 3 hours of darkness, an eclipse, and the Spirit of Christ left the body of Jesus and went directly to hell and to paradise. That's where he went. You know, we talk about paradise. Personally, I believe paradise is a place, a location where God had set before he could bring people truly home to heaven as the Garden of Eden. Somewhere, somehow. I believe it was like that when Adam and Eve, when God created the Garden of Eden, he called that paradise. Luke 23 and verse 39. Now one of the criminals who were hung blasphemed Jesus, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked the dude who said that, saying, "Do you not know even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? Are we indeed justly, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Then Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me" where? In paradise. Wow. He would be with him in paradise. We know it was some kind of a, we don't know fully exactly how the earth, people said that there's a whole nother place in the earth. There's a whole nother type of atmosphere and everything in the earth. It might be a place where God called paradise. And that's where he sent them, because they could not access heaven yet. Not until he paid the price for each and every one through the blood of the Lamb. Amen? So paradise, another location, not purgatory. Amen? There's no such thing as purgatory. This was like the Garden of Eden. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. By whom also he went and preached to the what? Spirits where? In prison. Now, if you went to paradise, you weren't in prison. Amen? These are the ones that were disobedient in hell. Who formerly were disobedient. When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and the powers having been made subject to him. Jesus the Christ released those in paradise and those in Hades, or what we call hell, that believed. He granted them access to the eternal port, through the eternal port, to the reality of heaven as it was open to each and every one. Can you imagine that? Just think about that, being in Hades for a period of time, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up and says, listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm willing to release you if you're willing to believe me and follow me. Does everybody understand that? See, the man on the cross, the dude on the cross, it said nothing about him saying, Lord, forgive me. Does everybody understand that? He just said, he acknowledged him as Lord, because God knew his heart. Lord. And he also defended the Lord, didn't he? He rebuked the other guy for mocking him. But he said, Lord, please let me have access to paradise. When you enter your kingdom, let me be with you. And he said, you will be there. So where did he first go then? He didn't go to heaven. Right? He went where? To paradise. Because heaven wasn't open until resurrection. That's when the people came out of their, remember, they came out of the graves, but they didn't come alive yet. Oh, hallelujah. On April 4th, this coming month, there'll be an eclipse, a full eclipse. On the 8th. April 4th, I'm sorry. April 8th. 4-8. I got 4-8 written down, that's why. On April 8th, a full eclipse will come. It'll go from one end of the country to the other. California to New York, hello. The bookends. They're the bookends of the United States. And it's not going to be a coincidence. It's going to arrive in New York at 3:16. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And it's going to end at 3:29, which was the day of Passover they celebrated. Now think about that. Ooh, hallelujah. On that same day, CERN is going to be restarted. Their system again, for those that don't know about CERN, it's a collider portal that they're looking for the God element, but it opens the demonic ports. So they're going to start that again. Believe me, all hell's about to break out, but all of heaven's about to break out. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're approaching our final redemption, and they don't want it to happen. It's going to be the Jonah event, right? The Jonah sign. Everybody's hearing it all over. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined to the adoption as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvations, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Redemption. In other words, what to be redeemed means you've been recovered back to the original owner. Does everybody get that? So you and I have been recovered back to the original, or for me and you, it's we've been recovered back to our original creator. Why? Because we are under the control of Satan. We are his, known as his offspring. Born in darkness, but now we are born again of the Spirit. Amen? Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, curses everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, is evident. For the just live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith. Does everybody see that? The law is not of faith. But the man who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, as is written, curses everyone who hangs on the tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the what? Holy Spirit. You and I were redeemed from the curse of the law, put under the plan of grace by faith and obedience. And obedience. I mean, all obedience is better than sacrifice. Faith forever attached in the heavenly. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and stomach for the foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual commits sexual immorality sins against his own body? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I think, you know, that's where the people struggle with. Wait a minute, this isn't my body. I'm not, I don't own this thing. Look at verse 20. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Wow. We were bought with the price of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. His death and his resurrection. We were bought. Amen. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, you're not your own. Jesus owns you. You are now the property of Jesus Christ. So devil can't touch this. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, putting away what? Lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we are sealed for the day of redemption, the completed restoration back to the owner. Back to the owner. I know for some of us, we wish it were here right now. But we got work to do. We're a part of the largest harvest on the earth now. Psalm 49 and verse 5. Why should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity at my heels surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem their brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. For he sees wise men die, likewise the fool and the senseless person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever, their dwelling places to all generations, and they call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish, and their posterity, they're above their saying. Like sheep, they are what? Laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be consumed in the grave, far from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the grave, for he shall receive me. Powerful. Powerful. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend with him. Though while he lives, he blesses himself. For men will praise you when you do well for yourself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. And the man who is in honor yet does not understand is like the beasts that perish. We are redeemed from the power of the grave. Why? Because Christ paid the price for us, didn't he? Amen. We have dominion. You know, so many times the Bible tells us to reckon ourselves to be dead. Dead to self. Our body will go back to the dust, but our spirit lives forever. Because we're eternal now. Philippians 3, verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their thoughts and their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So what's our final redemption? New body. Amen? A new body. The Bible says that we will be transformed in a twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1. Boy, I could use that new body today. Maybe it's hanging in my closet. I'll have to go look. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly and great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, here's a question. If you do not have revelation knowledge of Christ, his word, can you have a divine nature? No. So how many people are out there thinking that they're walking believers but don't have the knowledge of God? They're deceived. They're delusional. Hello. It's incredible. Because that's not what's happening. That's not the truth. Amen? Let's go on. Verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll never be what? Barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never what? Stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wow. An entrance to the eternal reality through obedience in the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because he redeemed us. Most of the world and the nation today celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Most of them celebrate a rabbit having eggs. They worship the god of fertility, Esther. The White House is celebrating not Easter, but they're celebrating the promotion of transgender. You talk about a demon possessed. It should be the Black House, not White House. Why? Because they're in darkness. Think about that. And they don't care. They're expressing it through the whole world. The whole world knows it. This is where we're at now. It's a battle between light and darkness. Truth and lies. Evil. Righteousness. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, let's speak it. Now the Lord spoke of Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons and according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Twilight means darkness. This is the same time Jesus died on the cross, but it was actually twilight, or what we call an eclipse. This was. Does everybody understand that? And they took some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts on the lintel of the houses where they ate it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roast it in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head, its legs, and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. Whatever remains until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now this is what we just celebrated this past Friday, I guess, Thursday. We're celebrating today what? Resurrection. So you got to have Passover before resurrection. Amen? In fact, this is where Jesus fulfilled the first three feasts, Passover, unleavened, and first fruits, when he died on the cross. This is what God said. He said, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt, and on that night, I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now remember, this was the last plague God brought over there. So what was he doing? He's getting ready to what? Release his people. To do what? To go out and worship him. Remember? Restore to the what? Original owner. He was redeeming them. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over it, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Now this is very powerful, because this is associated with the final judgment, God was redeeming the Israelites, or the Hebrews, back to the owner to bring them to the Red Sea event. Now, there's something about, and I'm just kind of like bringing, paralleling some things here. Because the Red Sea event was the greatest wealth transfer ever in the world. Why? Because the Israelites left with all the gold and silver. After the plague, and God struck everyone, what did Pharaoh do? He released them. He said, let them go. I can't take this any longer. And they left with all the gold, the silver, and some of the cattle and everything. They left with it all. And as they crossed, and God brought them to the Red Sea with all the gold, all the silver. And then he hardened the heart of Pharaoh so that he would chase them again. He brought all of his military in. He opened up the Red Sea. God brought his people across, and he waited for all the people of the military to get in the Red Sea. And you know what he did? He closed it on them. He didn't start a water park. He closed it on them. And they all got destroyed. In fact, they've taken many deep sea dives into the Red Sea to find still the chariots, the wheels, and all kinds of stuff down there. But it was not the greatest transfer of wealth known to mankind. And we're about to see that again. We're about to enter another Red Sea moment. Everything is falling. The Bible tells us history repeats itself, doesn't it? The Old Testament is a shadow of things to what? Come. Oh, things are about to happen. Exodus 15, please. In verse 11. final redemption. We're approaching it. But there's going to be redeeming of things happening as we approach the final redemption. And verse 11. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of all the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed, the mighty men of Moab, trembling like and take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them. By the greatness of your arm, they will be as still as a stone. Tell your people, pass over, O Lord. Tell the people, pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in a place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary of the Lord, which is your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh went with the chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought them back to the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And where did they enter? God's promised land for them. Amen. Oh, he always goes before us as a consuming fire. He snares our enemies in our nets while we escape safely. Now, of course, the Israelites became disobedient while they were wandering in the land. So their disobedience brought judgment. They grumbled and complained the whole time. I mean, grumbling and complaining brings judgment. Don't get involved in a butt ministry. Amen. But. Be careful what you say and what you speak. Because what you speak is what you eat. And what you eat is what you become. And I'm going to close at 1 Corinthians 15. So only 2 out of the original 2 million made it into the promised land. Hello. Wonder how many are going to make it home. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 20, please. Hallelujah. But now Christ is what? Risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as the Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ in his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he will put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son of Man, the Son himself, will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead, if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some will say, who are the dead? How are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that it shall be. but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh, and of a man, and another flesh of an animal, and another of the birds, another of the fish, and also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And as it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. While with the what? Sound of the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruptible, and this mortal has put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. So we are approaching our final redemption. Amen. But in the time as we approach our final redemption, there'll be other redeeming things coming forth. We've got to still see the wealth of the wicked being transferred. Many things, all the powers of darkness shaken and dismantled. Many arrests. We're going to see, the Bible tells us that we will receive see the reward of the wicked. Amen. So stand fast. Don't give up. Even though sometimes things get very difficult. And listen, you don't have to figure it all out. You just got to trust them all out. Amen? Hang around. You always want to be around people that are encouraging, not discouraging. Amen? My gosh, there's enough of that already through the world. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We're honored and blessed. We ask that you protect your seed that's been imparted in us. And we thank you for the price of Jesus. And as the redeemed, we say thank you. Thank you so much. We look forward to the final end of redemption. But in the meantime, we thank you that we have a job to do. So prepare your hearts for communion. And if you have any offerings to give, you may bring them up. And everybody said amen.